Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Buzzing About Romance, Sip and Discuss. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode are these people. Well, I will introduce them. Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hey.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello.
Okay, so we are in our out of this world month. We're doing all the things that are not contemporary romance. For all the people that, you know, are just tuning in, this is not typical for us. This is different. This was the pick from the Patreon community. So we gave them three books, first in series of different alien romances. I think we picked Ice Planet Barbarians, this one, and the first book in the Anna Hackett series, one of them. And they voted for Captive of the Horde King by Zoe Draven. So that is the book we're talking about. I need to say some things real quick. Heather's already rolling her eyes at me. I know this book is a fan favorite. I know that lots of listeners love this book.
Series. We love this series.
The series.
It is not necessarily this book.
There are
just clarifying that.
The series. Amanda could not join us. We're sending lots of positive, good vibes Amanda's way. She is stuck in Florida and is sheltering in place. She's on the East Coast, so she is getting the tail end of everything.
They're dealing with all the tornadoes.
Yes. Any of our listeners in Florida, we hope you all are staying safe and smart. Make sure you check in with us. But saying that, at the end of this, I will give Amanda sent thoughts. So I just need to know that my thoughts and Jenny's.
Yeah.
We're not alone.
We really use Amanda right now.
And we're not being mean, okay? There's three of you. Do not gang up on us tonight.
We would never gang up on you.
We might.
Okay. And we don't know where Lindsay... Lindsay, was this your first time reading this book, or have you read this series previous?
I've read this series.
Okay. We are in for it, Jenny.
She's very quiet right now, which makes me a little bit nervous how she's going to react.
I mean, no, okay. And no, I'm listening because I'm really interested to hear what everybody thinks.
She is working up her arguments.
Probably. No. She has a list. Okay, so like I said, this week's episode, we're discussing Captive of the Horde King by Zoe Draven. This is book one in her Dakar.
Horde Kings of Dakar.
Horde Kings of Dakar. Dothraki. Anyway, I'm just saying.
Just keep
going. Some things sound a little the same.
Keep going.
Okay, so who wants to give us all the things we need to know before we start?
I will.
Heather raises
Heather. You know what?
It like shoots up.
This is Heather's favorite thing to do. Going forward, if Heather's on the episode, she's reading the things we need to know.
Okay. Subgenre is sci-fi romance. Release date is March 26, 2019. The tropes are captive, forced proximity, enemies to lovers, virgin heroine, fated mates. Series, Horde King of Dakar. Type of series, interconnected standalone with overarching themes. Point of view is single first person. Put out percentage, 34. There's also extra equipment.
There's a vibrating bump. There's a vibrating bump that.
Oh, okay. Audio narrator Leah Langola, which I did the audio and I thought it was great.
I did the audio. I really thought she did a really good performance. Told the story. It made sense. It worked.
Totally good. This is available in Kindle Unlimited and you can whisper sync for about $3.50.
Yeah, like that was a deal on the book. And it is like a little over It is a little over 300 pages, but it reads really fast.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Which I was really grateful fast. For.
Not if you don't. It's 320 pages.
I put it down like.
It was easy to put times. Down, but I will say when I was listening to the segments, I was getting good chunks in. I mean, I finished the book while picking up dog poop with Ollie, so it's very exciting. Okay. It felt appropriate. She volunteered. Is it still captive? Yes, Sue. I would say she's still captive. She cannot escape. It was trading her life for potentially the life of her brothers. And let's talk about that for a really quick second. There is no consent in this book. Yes, she volunteered, but she didn't really have a choice in her volunteering, right? Because it's survival. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I think at best you could say this is dubious consent because it is not freely given consent in this book.
It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe not at first. But
definitely right away.
I was going to say, right when, that first time they have sex, she's not fully educated, prepared, or understood. She knows it's going to happen, but she's not freely giving.
Like, no, not at the beginning.
She's kind of hesitant.
And she says no.
Yeah.
I mean, right, not at the beginning.
At all of her situation. She's a virgin heroine. So
he calls it untried.
He does call it untried.
And he's not particularly
gentle
about it.
I wouldn't say there's any romantic to most of them.
Yeah, I don't think it's really like
yeah, there are soft moments but not many.
There was not,
they don't woo, they're not wooers.
They're not wooers.
Not in this,
they're like me horde king you woman.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of people find it more palatable to have the dubious consent in something like a fantasy, a science fiction. They find it easier to handle. I have zero problems with consent. We've talked about this before. For me, the conversation of consent, I didn't really understand that was something we needed to worry about until 2021. Because I read the old school.
I still don't. I didn't even realize it. So,
I read those old school bodice rippers, and being a Gen Xer, a kid of the 90s, it's different. I think if you look at the old school bodice rippers that I started reading, the informed consent is very different, right? But I will say, as I was reading this, I
feel like we need to disclaimer that in your books, you understand. Yeah,
in books. Sorry, I'm not talking about real life. In books. Yeah, although I did edit Shannon's book of free use, and you waive consent in the beginning and we never have to have it again. So that's an interesting
kink.
Also in a book. But maybe I adapted so we're on, let's talk about this real quick while we're on the piece of the sex and the consent. Did it bother anybody? So this is alien romance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not the alien. She's the alien. It's his home planet.
His home what?
Plan it. I can't say planet.
I personally like the fact that they are in his home, she's the outlier, because you don't typically get that with the way the story is set up. It's the Dakar world is the actual world, and I think it's an interesting twist.
It is, but it felt weird to call him alien when she was the alien.
Well, to her, he was the alien, but to nobody else.
No, she's was
the
born
alien
there.
To everybody else. She was the foreigner.
Well, this
foreigner.
Is true. She was born there.
I will also say,
she is the alien.
Overall, the theme of this book is controlled colonization. People come to their planet. They created rules and boundaries and segments and forced the humans and the other species to, they had to stay in certain places, right? And they were contained mm-hmm. and they have to follow their rules or they will die. So, I mean, it really is, in a political sense, it is, this is what controlled colonization looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's fiction. I'm just saying that.
Okay.
Still have but, a lot of problems.
Okay, well, let's talk about the real, let's talk about the world building, because I think in something like a science fiction book, same within a mm-hmm. PNR, we have to understand the lore. We have to understand how the world works. And if, I think it's Jenny who texted me, if you're going to create a freaking language, let's talk about how time works.
Hours aren't a thing. Like, no. It just.
But we don't understand, like, their planet's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand how their moon, like, their sun and the moon cycle. Yeah, like, you know.
They had, like, it seemed like a moon, like, a moon cycle was 28 days, which would not. No. That doesn't work. Like, we are the only planet with a 28-day moon cycle.
How do you know that for sure, though? Just saying.
Maybe okay, there's other suns. We're the only planet in our solar system with a 28.
Yeah, who's to say it's, we, in, like, it's not but, in our solar system?
But she doesn't explain any of that. 28
days, because their days would not be the same either.
See, that doesn't bug me, because, like, I've read multiple books in which, like, you're just kind of thrown into the world and, like, they're trying to figure it out. And, like, reading other Zoe Draven books, like, she kind of, like, she just throws you into this world and she doesn't really build it. It's like you're thrown into a world and, like, you kind of figure it out as it goes. And, like, that doesn't necessarily bug me.
But in this one book, there isn't a figure out how it goes. Like, we don't understand climate, atmosphere. Like, they're wearing nothing, so I'm assuming it's a desert type environment, at least where they are. You know, I just, for me, it's like the PNR, and I think that's part of the reason that I shy away from it. I mm-hmm. don't understand how the lore works, therefore it makes it difficult for me to follow along. So in this book, there was no world. No world was built.
Mm-hmm.
It was very character driven. Yes? No?
Yeah.
I feel like we get to know, you understand the world as the story goes. Like, you're thrust into it similar to, you know, and you just figure it out as it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it is actually, like, fairly common in alien romances for that to happen and to just kind of, like, thrust you into the world and you figure it out as you go along. And I think it kind of goes with, like, there's a lot of captive type romances and alien romance, and I think it really goes well with that theme, because, like, it puts you, the reader, in a similar position to one of the characters, typically, as, like, they're discovering the world, you are too, and I like that element of it. I don't necessarily need the world building.
I don't either.
I did. I did, and Amanda, like, did, just so we all know. Amanda did too. We needed the world.
I am a sci-fi person. Like, I watch a lot of sci-fi movies. Like, I mean, part of that is my husband makes me watch them, but I love, like, science fiction, but this, I needed things to work, and they didn't.
Well, but Stacey makes a good comment, and it's built more over the series, and this is one of those books, like, this is, like, her writing got much better from book one to the very last book of this series. Like, she really hit her stride, and I think that's part of the issue with this one, too, is, like, book one, like, it kind of sets up the character base, but, like, as the book series builds, like, her writing gets better and better, and the world gets more dynamic and more interesting.
But it's a 6-book series. You got to hook me with book one.
Yeah, it wasn't enough for me to come back.
And I just, okay, and so I'll stop with the world. I have one more comment about the world, and I will stop with it, and then we can talk about the story and the structure and how things work, and I don't know why I'm freezing. But anyway, I do feel that this world is basically Game of Thrones' Dothraki. This book reads like Game of Thrones' Dothraki fan fiction. And which, I know that Game of Thrones is something everybody did, but...
Yeah, but book one does have more of that, like, element, but again, like, she kind of loses that as the series goes. It was, like, really, it doesn't really
it was really interesting reading reviews. A lot of people were saying that, like, Kristen Ashley's Golden Ages books, that this even felt like fan fiction to that. And Kristen Ashley has been very clear to say that she was inspired to write her books because of Jason Momoa's character within the Game of Thrones and that Dothraki. So I think that's it on that. I know Jenny, well, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about our characters. Let's talk about what we liked in this story and what worked. Let's start with Luna, our heroine.
Yeah.
You share your thoughts. What did everyone think of Luna?
I liked her. She was sassy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you find her slightly... I wish she had more of a backbone. I also feel like single first person point of view on this book did it a disservice.
It does, and it does change in book two, and then it is dual first person through the rest of the series.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
I felt like she was a little... I don't think it's too stupid to live. I don't think that's the word.
It's more fish out of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she does not know anything that goes on beyond her little, like, border of her settlement. And she believes all these stereotypes that she's been taught.
Yeah.
She's very sheltered. Like, she doesn't, like you said, she doesn't know much.
As I was reading her, I felt myself going back to some of the old school bodice rippers that take place in the Arabian deserts, kind of that harem vibe. The Sultan picks up, you know, kidnaps her, brings her into the harem, favors her. Two within the harem will help, you know, kind of assimilate and, you know, teach her ways and stuff like that. So I got those vibes from her. I really wanted more. I think I just wanted more. I mean, this is like the third time I've tried to pick up this book and read it, and I did finish it. But it's just I just kept thinking, oh, that's it.
I mean, we don't really get deep into it. Like, there's not really a lot of depth to the story. It's very surface level. Even their relationship, despite them being fated mates, is very surface level. I don't know that. I think there's a kind of a spectrum with alien romances. I said this just last week about the paranormal, but like, there's a spectrum of what they are. And I think, a lot of them tend to be somewhat surface level, not a lot of world building, and very fast paced.
Yeah.
And I think in this particular situation, like, part of them not having as much relationship building comes from her not really being exposed to much. Like, she's been living this very survivor style life in her village. She makes decisions entirely around saving her brother. Like, she is a girl who's had to kill her own mother. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Like, she's kind of like a forged by fire kind of character. And as a result, like, she's not afraid of him. She's not really excited about being in a relationship with him at all. But, like, I think even though she's in a unique circumstance, I really like the way she handles herself in those circumstances. Like, she doesn't let people walk all over. Like, when she's getting her tattoos, they're mating bond tattoos or whatever. Like, she is in extreme pain not showing it. Like, I think you see a lot of very strong, subtle character traits from her. At the same time, you see a lot of, like, naive, innocent type traits. Yeah. And she seems very, very young.
Well, and I think that's the thing. Like, we don't really know exactly how old she is. Like, she talks about like how her mom had died a few years before that, and she was only 15 when that happened. So we don't really know how old she is. So she could only be like 19. And she, like, so if she is still quite young, like, her character is like reads in tune with that, like, with that sheltered naivety, like, of that age. And I think, but there's a strength in her that, like, she never had to really tap into before, like, she went to him. But, like, the fact that, like, she was so determined to, like, protect her brother, like, that really, like, tapped into that, like, back end that she didn't really know she that she had. And so it's like these all these little things, and like the fact that, like, she feels confident in, like, clapping back at him, maybe not always in the most appropriate ways, but, like, it really gives, like, allows her to grow and, like, into her own, like, self-worth that she didn't think that she had before.
Heather, do you have anything to share about Luna, your thoughts?
I actually think she reads very young, like, now kind of thinking back, like, I bet she's young and she has no world experience. Like, she knows that little small town.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, it's definitely class difference. You know, there is that power dynamic. And I find that interesting, too, because I was talking to Amanda, because I know that power dynamic doesn't really, she doesn't really like a power dynamic, which is why she shies away from certain books and certain things.
Yeah.
And she didn't mind the power dynamic that we had last week with the PNR. And she didn't mind it in this book. Like, it doesn't bother her in a sci-fi romance. And I find that interesting because, like, we don't know how old he is either. And he does read older.
We also don't know, like, how long his race typically lives or what their aging process is.
Yeah.
Any of that.
Right.
So, you know, that it's kind of that weird power play. And I find it interesting that people who don't typically like it in contemporary love it in something like an Alien. It's just this, like, you know, true. We know that Ice Planet Barbarians is basically breeding kink. That is all that those books are. And, you know, people will be like, I don't like breeding kink, but I read all of Ice Planet Barbarians. Okay.
And they loved them. Like, make they it make sense to those things.
I think they have also an element in paranormal or, like, mafia or a lot of the books where you see consent or, like, dubious consent or things like that being accepted. Like, it doesn't necessarily read as a toxic relationship because there's a cultural difference associated with those books, that whereas, like, contemporary, it's set in modern culture, so when you get, like, no consent in a contemporary, it reads very different. Very different.
Yeah, you can kind of separate this from real, like, fiction to, like, real life. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I think some readers can. I think there are other readers that, like Jenny, really struggled with the lack of consent and understanding. But I do think that there's some forgiveness given because it is not contemporary.
Yeah, if this was, like, set in a contemporary, I probably would have stopped at 34%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Arokon. He is our hero. He is the leader of this specific horde.
Yeah.
And he is a subject of the actual king of all the hordes.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
It's like states, right? That's how I kind of think about it. Like,
I assumed it was tribe. It kind of gave tribe vibes. Right.
Like, because they don't stay in one place. Like, they move, like, where the food goes. Yeah,
like,
goes.
Bedouins, like,
towards the end of the book, like, the herd is traveling because the weather is changing. So they're following the herd.
Yeah. So what are our thoughts on him? Again, I think that this book would have read better with his POV,
with his point of view. Yeah, I definitely like, I missed out, and that was one thing that I really enjoy about the later books is the fact that we get like, we don't always get a ton of like the male point of view in like a couple of the books, but we get enough for it really to create a lot of like depth to the story. And like, I wanted to get like into his headspace, especially like on those like days where like they were having the moments like, and then nothing would happen, and like, or like his reaction instead of her reaction when she like burst into that meeting.
Well, even when even when they're in the what he called a trial, which was actually just an execution, judgment day, I would have rather have had his headspace, and then they don't talk to each other for 4 days, then they have sex, like,
because she apparently now is a sex fiend.
Right.
I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand with the genre. So.
I think that sci-fi in general has a lot of sex, Jenny.
They do.
I've read Ice Planet Barbarians. Oh. I know that they have a lot
There's a lot of sex.
What else is there to do? There's no phones. There's no internet. There's no TV. I mean, you're just going to get it on.
You can fight or you can fuck.
Yeah, I guess I like the fighting better in my sci-fi.
Bring out the laser swords.
But you don't want the tail to wrap around your thigh and pull you to where you need to be.
Jenny's point, though, I agree. Like, there is usually an element of violent conflict in these sci-fi books, and the violence in this book was very minimal.
It was, yes, compared to other ones.
Can we talk about the tail? Because it's used a little in the beginning, and then we really don't really get much more tail.
No, it's more of a...
It felt gimmicky. Same with the
bump. More of an apparatus for moving things.
Same with the bump. We got it, like, once.
No, we got the bump quite a few times.
Not every time, though. She didn't describe the bump every time.
I mean, she talked about the bump enough.
I mean, she licked it a couple times.
I mean, she was a big fan of it when she was giving him blowjobs.
Well, but I just... Like, what was its purpose? Can we talk? Do we know? And this is again.
Why does it need a purpose?
Also, I think the purpose is pretty clear.
For her pleasure.
The position and the fact that it vibrates.
The fact that their anatomy. So is the female anatomy of this species the exact same as the female anatomy of a human?
We learn about that in a different book, to be honest.
The bump is going to be more towards his species than the human species. So,
well, but if you like, the females are not as big or like as bulky as the males. Like, they talk about that, how they're like built similar, but they're still smaller. So I would assume I don't remember how it's broken down.
Like, species that have,
it's been a while,
you know, different genitalia, it's for the purpose of breeding, and it plays a part into the breeding, right? It has a purpose. What was the bump's purpose?
Not all the paranormal penises, very few paranormal penises actually have a purpose beyond,
but like, the nodding has the purpose to stay in there and get her pregnant.
But what does
the knot is not there all the time. The knot like just shows up in the mating moment. Like, it's not like it's always there.
Okay, but like a demi penis in a reptile, there's a reason.
We're not talking about.
But that's what I'm saying.
We're not talking about real like reptiles, though. We're talking about.
But the bump, what was the purpose, and how does it play into the female anatomy? Like, I have questions.
It's like the ears on the rabbit. That is what it does.
Kind of fun, unique, supernatural penis element that does not really have a purpose beyond it's not a human normal.
It's true because Ice Planet Barbarians have like the hook bump thing. And it doesn't even vibrate. It's just there.
Well, their ears vibrate though.
But only like in the moment.
And their tongue.
Why do their ears vibrate? I don't remember this.
It's like when they're about to come.
It's like they're focusing their power.
If the girl, like the girl stroke it.
Yeah.
Shakes it out.
Yeah.
whatever. It doesn't matter.
Stacy says, did Ice Planet Barbarians have a purpose for the extra bits? No. No, they did not. The vibrating horns did not make a difference.
It gave notice that they were doing that. It was a shift of energy. I just needed to know why the bump existed.
You are stretching things.
Listen, the bump made no fucking sense, Leah.
No, the bump doesn't make sense because you think that it needs to. Like, honestly, like,
what does any man have a purpose for?
Right? I don't know. Seriously. I don't like them anyway. I mean, seriously, get rid of all the men. I don't need them.
Once you go alien, you never go back. I mean, you're not wrong. You are not wrong. I have that a whole little sticker. Doodad on my, you know.
Okay, so it's just aliens. Apparently, aliens get special bits. Okay, got it. But nobody explained that to me.
I will caveat the kind of advertisements you get for certain things will be very unique once you read a lot of alien romances, assuming that you have certain permissions approved on your
phone. Also, I'm curious to see what my like Facebook ads are going to be tomorrow after sitting here talking about this online.
Yeah. It's always interesting.
You never know what's going to show up the day after an episode.
So Amanda needed to bring this up, and I will bring it up. I thought about it a couple times, but then I didn't think about it as hard as Amanda did.
Okay. For sure I did.
And Jenny did.
I did.
Did his claws and his fingers, especially when he was using them on her lady bits, bother anybody else? Like, dude's gonna like scratch her out.
No, it didn't bug me.
Yeah, same.
I didn't notice.
I didn't either.
Like, I noticed, but it didn't bug me. Because again, it's an alien. So I give some grace to the fact that human, he's an alien.
Human.
I'm not, like, yeah, I'm like thinking about like Alien the movie. I'm like, yeah.
But it's,
they're going to kill you.
I mean, it's not like he's crawling out of her stomach either. I mean, like,
Sydney Burrier showed me a face sucker that like attaches to your head, like as a costume piece. And I was like, great, Sydney, that's awesome. Where would you wear it? She's like, I'd wear it to the store. I'm like, we're not buying it.
And I'm not going to the store with you.
Right.
You're like, get your license, Sydney Burrier.
Huh. Okay, so the claws apparently only bothered Amanda and Jenny.
And you.
Can we talk about his face?
His what?
What about his face?
Because he's Avatar, but tan.
Yeah, if you look at the cover.
The new covers, yeah. The drawings. I don't like the new covers.
They look like the aliens from Avatar. The blue aliens from Avatar.
I was disappointed. They have the
like slanted noses.
Small nostrils. Honestly, I was disappointed in the recovery for the paperbacks. I like the old ones better. Because the old ones, I'm not attached.
Leah's like, I'm not attached. Wait.
Because the old ones, they're more humanoid. Like, yeah, that looks
way different. Like, he has little eyes and, yeah.
Yeah, like he has like the gold, like you can't really see it. Like there is the different eye color, but they're definitely like more human in the like description of like the old covers. I don't like the new covers.
Yeah, it did feel a little bit like a tan version of Avatar aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Avatar, so
I haven't either. But if you look it up,
you're not really missing anything.
I'm never going to. I'm never going to watch.
Why are you never going to watch Avatar?
It's three hours.
It's a lot of freaking
movies. Who the heck is making movies that long? And what adult actually has
been Spielberg?
Nobody. James Cameron.
Anybody that makes movies that long doesn't have anyone with ADHD in their life.
I mean, did you watch Titanic? They don't
know humans. That's the problem. If you're making a movie that long, you
Titanic
don't
know was so humans. Long it was two VHS tapes, people. Right? Two VHS tapes. You had to get up and switch the tape.
Right. All to watch die on a door.
I am aging myself.
When they first did 3-hour movies, wasn't it like 15? I don't know. In my head, I did like 15-minute intermissions in the middle, which is like totally acceptable. But like a 3-hour long
also,
movie and the movie
two VHS no tapes.
But see, my ADHD husband can sit through that like no problem.
Yeah.
So they know their audience.
Yeah,
this is true.
Stacy says she heard it was bad Pocahontas in reference to Avatar.
I can see.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do think.
I agree, Stacey. I will give Lord of the Rings Days of My Life. Well, and also Star Wars. I will give that to Days of My Life.
Yeah, I didn't watch Lord of the Rings, but in all fairness, Orlando Bloom was very hot as an elf.
Oh my God. Wow.
I was like 13.
And I do like Viggo Mortensen.
You know,
yes.
If Orlando Bloom is hot, we're in. If he's an elf, we're in.
I mean, Aragorn and Legolas, they make it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I named one of my kids after one of his characters, so.
This is true.
Oh my gosh.
What? Yeah. I mean, my husband picked out that name, but yeah.
That's you also did not fight it.
No, but I did watch the movie that is over 3 hours to make sure I was pronouncing my kid's name correctly.
Okay. So, back to Horde King, captive of the yes. Horde King. You know, it's funny because you guys brought up the age, and juvenile is how I felt about this book. Just everything felt really juvenile. I do think it gives kind of old school bodice ripper vibes a little bit with the kidnapping and her needing to be, you know, assimilate and, I don't know, rescued from her pauper life and stuff like that. Now, I do need to ask, because I'm going to be real honest. I have no plans to read any more of this series. Like, it's not for me. So, which is cool. It's no big deal. Not every book is for everybody. This one is just not for me. Why does every hero mate with a human? Or do some of the...
So, was his mom a human? His mom wasn't
a human.
No, but in the next 5 books, is every heroine a human? What is wrong with the women of their... species.
Nothing's wrong with them. They just, the goddess like drives them to the person that they meet.
There's an overarching plot to take over the human race.
The overarching storyline is with like those like.
I totally just made that up. I'm not.
I might be right.
It's more introduced in book 2 and book 3. One of the heroines, I think it might be book 4, book 5, she is half human, half horde, like Dakar.
Okay. But I guess that would have been nice to know, like, why was his chosen mate human?
Yeah, it's book 4, Broken by the Horde King. I was like, no, I think there's one.
Because actually, because they were like
clan
friends when they were growing up and he broke her heart. That's right, because it's second chance. Yeah, I don't think it's really talked about, but like one, like there's like a witchy element that is added in, I think, book 4.
So was this her debut? Is this book her debut?
No, she did. This is one of her earlier books. She had her Aliens of Luxar series prior to this one, but I read those ones. I wasn't a huge fan of them. Like, her writing style has definitely gotten better, like, with this series. This was, she started publishing in 2017.
Okay.
And this was 2019. But that Aliens of Luxar series was before this one. But it was hard to get into that one. I didn't end up finishing that series.
Well, and if this is one of her first, you know, like, first of 10 books that, you know... It would explain some of the juvenile nature of the book, but you would hope.
Yeah.
But you would hope by, if this was her 5th or 6th book, you would hope by that point she'd had some kind of development and movement. Because again, I know it was easy to put down, but I think that just comes because science fiction isn't my thing. It was I mean, I can walk away from Star Trek and go right back in and watch Star Trek and feel like I didn't forget or not understand what was happening.
And see, I am a sci-fi nut.
Yeah.
So
it's just not like it's just not my thing, and that's okay. Was there anything within this book that you really felt was dynamic, that really, like, it was the hook for you that kept you reading, for those of you that were like loving it?
I don't know. I feel like these are kind of mac and cheese reads to me, like, where easy to read. They're very fast. Like, there's not really a lot of thought. I'm just like, kind of, okay, this is what it is. Like, throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Like,
And like, when I read them, I binged everything that was out. And it was just one of those things. And honestly, like, again, book one is not the strongest book of the series. It is my least favorite of the series. Like, it's one of those ones where I binged, and like, as the series continued, like, the overarching storyline is what really pulls you in, which is disappointing that like book one is not like as strong as it could be to really introduce like this world, because it does definitely get more intriguing and more dynamic as the world continues.
Yeah,
it gets better.
Like Stacy said, if you're intrigued and don't mind skipping, try book three or book four and go from there. Because book two isn't bad, but book three and book five are my favorites. Well, and I really like book six too. But
I'm going to break all your hearts. I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
we know. I'm not either. That's fine. I knew you weren't going to. I was surprised you even gave us this one.
Hey,
She gave us this one. I'm actually surprised she finished it, to be honest. I'm surprised she didn't DNF.
I finished the Meghan Quinn book, so screw you all.
But you knew that. Oh my God, but you knew all of us like finished it
for at least until the end of
time. Like, she's going to hold on to that until like the end.
Because
of time. But I'm surprised like that you did finish this one, just because you knew like we had all read it before.
And I really, to be honest, I'm really trying this month. I want to push myself. I think, you know, as a reader, one of the things that we can do is continue to try new to us authors, new to us genres, really push ourselves to, especially, you know, this book, it's constantly talked about like, oh my God, you want science fiction, aliens, you know, try Zoe Draven. Like, you hear about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, in all honesty, I don't mind pushing myself. I'm really trying. And so, you know, this month, is it a challenge for me? 1,000% it is. But I'm really giving it a try. I liked last week's book. I had some questions. Next week is vampires. And as long as they do not sparkle, I will not throw my Kindle.
I haven't read that one, but I'm pretty sure they don't sparkle.
I mean, as long as we can stick in the Van Helsing kind of lore, like, you know, vampires come from, you know, Transylvania kind of thing, you know, the Romania.
I guess we'll find out, because I think it's new to all of us, that one.
No, Lindsay, you've read
Lindsay,
this one.
Have you read that one?
What? Yeah.
See, I told you. None of us have read this one yet. We've read Samantha Whiskey, but we have not read her vampires yet.
Okay. Well, next week's episode might be really interesting.
I don't think it will be bad. I think it's really popular for vampire book.
Okay.
They seem to be well received, and a lot of people do recommend her books in general. Like, I will say this about Samantha Whiskey. She writes a generally consistent book.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not phenomenal, it's generally pretty good. So I don't have any worries about it.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't always love like the characters, but it's always a strongly written book. Like, she is a strong writer, like, well-developed like storylines, but sometimes I just hate the characters.
Well, and I read, you know, like, years ago, I read every book by Charlene Harris in the Sookie Stackhouse series.
Sookie.
But you know what, like, you bring up a good point with this, because like, we're talking about author consistency. There is a wide array of, like, I think you see a much different range. You're starting to see it more in contemporary and other genres of romance, like, more inconsistency in terms of book quality, whereas like, there used to be a ton of really good consistent work. But like, in paranormal, it's always been a gamut of like, okay, sometimes I read a book and I'm like, well, that was utter garbage. And other times I'm like, wow, I really love this. I obsess about it. And I talk to you for 2 years about the Nightshade Vampires every week.
Hey, have you read the new one? Not to like interrupt the... It was good. I have some issues with it, but we can talk about it later.
I love that they just keep coming out with more.
Is that the Vampire Mafia?
Yes, the Vampire Mafia, Becky.
Heather, And
I think it was this book pulled me out of my comfort zone. Like, I went into the new year wanting to read different stuff, new authors.
Yeah.
So I read this in January. I can't do all alien. I have to mix it. So I read January and February most, like, PNR. And so I liked it. It made me want to read more. It wasn't like super thought provoking. There's issues, but it was like, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And I like that it challenges us. It makes us look at things different. And like I said, I was giving some comps to, I think I was giving them to Jenny and Amanda, you know, like the vibes of this book are like having the Sheik's baby from the 1990s Harlequin line, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, and that was a whole thing in the 90s. And then Jenny got all up in roars, like, cultural appropriation. You have to remember, like, there was no Google. It was encyclopedias, pop culture media that they were.
We had a set of encyclopedias at our house.
Let's see. Oh, Stacy says for her, she rarely would read contemporary until she joined the community. You're welcome. You're welcome. She read Winterville, so it's cool.
She ranks way better than that.
She might take your job.
She wins it all.
I'm just saying, a real friend would read Winterville.
No friend has a whole list just for Benny. All of
the Men of Haven.
And the Men of Haven.
Well, that one, yes. A real friend would.
I'm telling you, come the first of the year. Because we're working on backlists. Well, actually, we're going to just call it Becky's List of 2025. So if you people don't step up to host a month, guess what?
I'm fine.
Guess what your TBR is going to look like, people.
I wish my momming responsibilities wasn't so strong this year.
Well, being a parent's a lot. Okay, let's do our, unless anybody has anything else to say about Captive. Anything? Okay.
Yeah, wait a second. Why was she dumb enough to go, like, with the old lady?
Oh.
I mean, yeah that was a...
That was a faux pas.
Okay.
Faux pas.
As long as we all acknowledge that, I'm good.
It was at that moment I thought, oh. Because I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt the whole time. Like, she's not too stupid to live. Look, like, she's really trying.
That was a too stupid to live moment. I will fully agree.
And then she did
that,
and I thought,
Well, I think she acknowledges that she doesn't want to do that. But, like, she overrides her instincts because of how... Like, important she is to Aerokon,
the hero.
So
she even says, like, I don't think this is a good idea.
She knows that it's not a good idea. She knows she doesn't want to do it. She's not comfortable with it, and she pushes herself because she thinks it's critical to rising to her new status as the Horde Queen, and gaining favor with someone who holds great esteem with her mate.
Yeah. And to be honest, during that tattoo scene, I really thought she was going to be his mother.
Yeah.
Because of the vibes. I thought it was going to be his mother. Like,
it was going to be.
So I thought that. But anyway, so yes, that was her too stupid moment, but it's okay. I do think that this is one of those.
She prevailed because she got her own. Like, she got out of it herself.
She did.
Well, yeah, and I would say that, like, because I was very hard on this book, but, like, she was smart enough to, like, be like, I don't know what to do in a situation, so you need to teach me. Yeah. And she learned.
She did
learn. And she progressed. And that's what
saved her. And then she made a dumbass move, but...
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. I asked Amanda, and she said... some thumb sideways. She thinks that Anna Hackett's alien world is better. So if
Anna creates a really phenomenal world.
She said that if you want to give sci-fi a chance that's really well done, go to Anna Hackett.
It's also really short and easy to read. Like, Anna Hackett has, like, she's the gold standard to me.
And she's like a 250.
So cute and sweet.
I love her.
And she, her husband is like amazing adorable. As well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bonded with them. We're best friends forever.
Like, honestly, when Anna and I were talking and Lindsay and Anna's husband would not stop talking.
Yeah.
Like, we held up that line at the book signing.
He talked to me, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I was grabbing away. We were doing our thing. He was super chatty. He was so sweet and so nice.
And they're Lindsay's best friends.
They're my best friends. They're my favorite people.
Lindsay, thumbs up, thumbs down on Captive of the Horde King.
I read this. I am not picky when it comes to paranormal stuff. Like, I'll read anything. Thumbs up.
Okay. Heather, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I give it a thumbs up.
Okay. Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm a thumbs up for this one as well. Like I said, this is not the strongest book, but I do enjoy it.
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I have to say thumbs down. I need the math to work and it doesn't for me.
Yeah. I'm going to go thumb sideways. It wasn't the worst thing you people have made me read, Megan Quinn. But it was not the best thing I have read. But I do see the I see the attraction. I see why people really like it. I see why people are engaged with it. It definitely borders lines on the vibes over stakes. And it is, you know, super sexy. It is almost like alien erotica. So
yeah. I'm okay with that.
Because it lacks world, in my opinion.
The three of us that like it.
I was like, yep. Yep.
I like that we're all over the spectrum with this because that's how it is with a lot of like paranormal sci-fi books. And I think it's an accurate representation and it's a more accurate conversation for someone who like tunes into these episodes and is like, where am I going to fall? And if they know they read books like Jenny, they're going to be like, hell no. But if they know like, they're more like Becky, they're like, oh, maybe I'll try this. I might not like it, but like, hey, I'll try it. Like, I don't know.
Well, and that's... And that's part of the reason that we bring in co-hosts and different and try to shake things up because, you know, Heather is in for the vibe. She doesn't want the third act breakups. Mm. Give her all the sexy times. She's
Also not picky. Like, I mean, I think you guys know that.
Yeah.
Like,
unless it's like, hockey. Yeah. If they get hockey wrong, then she's real picky, people.
Correct.
That's a whole other topic, though.
And, you know, we know that Lindsay wants really deep character development. Unless it's paranormal, then she just is in it for the vibes.
There's no rules for me.
There's no rules. And Leah, sometimes
rules
we're not
are
sure.
left on earth.
Leah doesn't read anything in order. Nothing makes sense with Leah, but she has a good, solid understanding of pacing and how stories work. So that's why we bring everybody
in. I read things in order. It's not true. I read lots of things in order.
I don't. But...
Within the book, you read it in order?
No, like the book itself. Like, I don't read it in order.
Never.
Sometimes.
You never
like,
read it
I read
order.
A book last week.
That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And I read the first three chapters, then I skipped to the last three chapters, then I went back to the beginning and then back to the end. And then I read the entire book, but I read nothing in the position that it was supposed to be in.
Okay. That's.
You're a lot of work.
Wow.
Just but you guys love me anyway.
I mean, sometimes I skip to the end because I just got to know like if it's worth it.
Yeah, but then there was something in the end that like was intriguing. So I had to find the chapter that it like occurred in to make sure it actually occurred because that was going to bug me. And
yeah,
so that was like.
She had a whole process going.
It was a whole thing. I'm confused on where you decide the end is.
It really kind of depends on the book and the
last
day.
Chapter or the epilogue because, you know, it could have just
last
been a chapter.
No, sometimes it's like five chapters from the end. It really depends on the day.
Okay.
Wow.
Don't question the process, Heather, because nobody understands it.
So if somebody really loved this book or really wants to explore the alien races and all of their extra genitalia, where should they go? We did talk about Anna Hackett. We've talked about Ice Planet Barbarians.
Yeah.
Are there other sci-fi books / series that should be on people's radars?
I really like January Bell.
Which she is our book in 2 weeks, and she is our book club author, and she's coming.
And Tana Stone. And, oh gosh, I have them all pulled up, sorry.
Is there
Tana Stone.
Tasha Black?
Tasha Black, yeah.
Victoria Aveline. Okay. So Victoria Aveline and Tana Stone I met in Denver, and they are very sweet humans. So I really like them.
Okay. Too.
And January Bell is really liked her okay. books.
Leah?
Those ones, and then there was another person I was thinking of, but I cannot for the life of me think of who it
well,
is.
Well, maybe right you now. Can put a blog post up this week of other sci-fi romances.
I will do a blog post of sci-fis.
That would be awesome. People would love that.
Sorry.
No, go. Do you have books?
I was trying to think all day about Tasha Black. I was like, who wrote this series? And the minute Heather was said Tasha Black, I was like, oh yeah, her Alien Baby Agency book is the one. Like, that's a really fun alien book series. It's really long, and I don't think they're in Kindle Unlimited, but they go on.
I don't think
there's like a bunch of them that are free.
I think she's Kobo Plus. But I think she's Kobo Plus.
And Michelle Mills has a lot of alien. She's like a whole Alien Nanny series. They're short, like a little bit bananas at times.
Tasha, I raised my hand again. Oh my gosh, I'm so like hi. I spent all day in a middle school. Is that okay? Clear? Tasha Black has a mail order bride series that's in Kobo. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I threw it all the way back to Gina Showalter. She has an Alien Huntress series, and she's in almost every library in the country, so like you can read all of her books for free. I know this because I used to steal them from my library and return them because they had a stupid short policy on books. It was like 1 week checkout, so I returned them. But like, why are you limiting a
library 1 week
when I can't even drive? I couldn't drive until very late, so I wasn't like 12 reading the.
Did Lindsay just admit that she stole library books, but she returned them?
I did.
Steal a library book, though.
Well, this probably was pre-censors.
They didn't have the censor reader. True. They had the thing where you check.
They had to type in the number and stamp the library card.
Can you imagine these librarians? Someone is stealing these alien books and then they're returning them.
This was probably a wanted poster in that library. And then when I was old enough, I would get them in like the $1 discount bin at Borders Books before they went away.
Oh yeah.
Oh my.
Anyway,
Lindsay, I love
they're very
Lindsay.
Spicy.
The conscious thief, Lindsay.
I'm just gonna steal this, but I'm gonna return it in 2 weeks. I don't drive, so I don't get here very often.
Is it stealing if you're just borrowing?
I mean,
and I don't like it without permission. That's why
my parents also got really mad at me one time because, like, I did check out the books and then I didn't bring it back, and then
you had to pay the late fees.
You didn't bring them back yet.
Like, late fees were the
get
worst.
A letter in the mail, and they were like, "Why do you owe $3.45 to the library?" And I'm like, "Well, I will sell the books instead."
No letters, no fees anymore.
No letters in the mail. They still went back to the library. It was all fine.
Okay.
Ethical theft.
Okay, ethical theft. Apparently, we've now defined that. Didn't know it was a thing. You can find a list of all the books we talked about tonight on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can find a wanted poster of Lindsay in her hometown library.
Stacy said she's going to hook everyone up in the Discord on some PNR racks, too.
Excellent. And Amber shares she liked Erin Hale and Lily Xander. So,
And if you need consent... Merritt's new Saving Lauren book.
Oh yeah.
Kind of consent. They do really deep, like there is good development in the relationship and there is world building, and it's just enough world building. And it reads, I thought it read like Anna Hackett. So
yeah. Merritt's book is very good. It's very good. Okay. So make sure you come back and join us on Sunday. October is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I am very excited. We are going to talk about books with great mental health rep. So we're going to shine a light on the importance of mental health, but we're also going to talk about books that, you know, if you're someone that struggles with OCD or someone that struggles with anxiety or depression, these are some books that would have relatable characters for you. and show you the mature way, the helpful way to deal with them and not be like a rabid little trash raccoon in a corner.
Rabid trash.
I mean, maybe I want to be a rabid trash raccoon.
You pretty much are a rabid trash raccoon.
That's unavoidable.
Okay. So we'll have all the book recs on Sunday night. So make sure you're back here. And then we are back next Wednesday as we delve into vampires. Hopefully they don't sparkle. As we are reading Crimson Covenant by Samantha Whiskey. Yeah, those are all the things.
I'm excited to read that book.
I'm excited too. It's going to be a great week. Anyway, thanks everybody for hanging out and reading Captive of the Horde King. Mm-hmm. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.